From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
How are you today? It's nice for me, Amanda, to accompany you for the next 60 minutes in our terrestrial program. We have prepared you some segments such as news, news across the country, and other interesting information. Stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia. Here is the news read by Amanda. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo promises smoother new Jakarta-Cikampek highway. Vice President Maruf Amin highlights parallel development of Syariah and conventional economy. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo said he would ask the authority of the Jakarta-Cikampek elevated toll road to make the surface smoother before it becomes operational ahead of the Christmas and New Year's Eve holiday season. Speaking to journalists after observing the latest construction process of the LRT project from the Jakarta-Cikampek elevated toll road, President Joko Widodo jokingly said the smoother road surface of this highway could trigger drivers to fall asleep while driving. However, he promised to ask the related stakeholders to recheck the road surface of all sections along the highway before it becomes fully operational in the near future. Vice President Maruf Amin affirmed that the development of Syariah-compliant finance should run in parallel with the conventional economy to boost the national economic growth. As quoted by Antara News Agency at the inauguration of the Association of Indonesian Islamic Economy Experts, or IAEIA, on Friday, he affirmed that the effort to develop the Syariah economy and finance should not be made by confronting it with conventional economy. The development of Syariah and conventional economy should run in synergy. He also said the concept of conventional economy can be applied in Indonesia, while the Syariah economy would serve as a complementary means to drive the national economy. The development of Syariah economy and finance in Indonesia has shown a positive trend, with the country's increased rank to fourth out of the 121 countries in Syariah economic development based on the Islamic Finance Development Indicator, or IFDI, 2019. The Ministry of Agriculture, through the Center for Plant Variety and Licensing Protection, or PVTPP, initiated the Plant Variety Protection Week, or PVT, with a theme towards two decades of plant variety protection. The PVP Week is held from 16 to 18 December 2019 to appreciate, call, mobilize, and motivate plant breeders to innovate. Head of PVTPP at the Ministry of Agriculture, Adizal Jamal, said in Jakarta on Friday that the PVP Week is a national campaign to promote and educate people's behavior in respecting PVP as a form of intellectual property.
Kami sengaja melakukan pekan PVT ke depan. Tujuannya adalah
we deliberately hold the PVP Week ahead of the aim is that people are aware of the importance of protecting plant varieties and also the importance of seeds especially. Of course, we hope that first, within the scope of the Ministry of Agriculture itself, people understand what protection of plant variety is. Then the second point is that many people understand what the rights protection of plant varieties is. The third is, of course, we associated with private seed companies, breeders in agricultural research and development, and those in universities. We certainly encourage them to register more and more rights to protect their varieties of plants in our office. Protection of plant varieties or PVT as part of intellectual property rights guarantees legal protection for breeders in producing plant varieties. After nearly two decades of crop variety protection systems in operation, the Ministry of Agriculture has received around 752 applications and issued PVP rights certificates for 472 varieties. Meanwhile, 118 plant varieties are still in the process of substantive inspection. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati remains buoyant of the state budget deficit in 2019, staying at its initial projected figure of 2.2% despite sluggish tax revenue recorded at only 72% of its target. The Ministry Director General of Tax recorded that until the end of November, tax revenue had only reached 1,136 trillion rupees, or 72% of the target 1,577.5 trillion rupees set in 2019 state budget. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Sri Mulyani said that the government would maintain the deficit at 2.2%. She also noted that her ministry would increase revenue from all sources during the subsequent 2 weeks, including tax revenue from expenditures, customs, dividend, and non-tax state revenue. The Indonesian State Electricity Company, PT PLN, promised on Friday that there will not be any blackout during the holiday season of Christmas 2019 and New Year 2020. Between December 18, 2019 and January 8, 2020, PLN's power plants will be operational, while transmission's network will also be on active status with no maintenance planned during PET period. Director of PT PLN Sri Penny Intanchayani at a press conference in Jakarta on Friday during the inauguration of the Association of Indonesian Islamic Economy Experts, or IAEAI, stated that PT PLN has prepared reserve electricity supply by providing 2,540 units of generator sets in several regions across Indonesia. She added that her site is also ready to deploy 29,200 operators to 2,143 posts. Freedom of religion and belief is the fundamental right of every human being. This was stated by Indonesian representative of ASEAN Intergovernment Commission on Human Rights, or AICHR, Yuyun Wahyuningrum, at the opening of the AICHR consultations on the implementation of Article 22 of the ASEAN Human Rights Declaration on Freedom of Religion and Belief in Nusa Dua Bali on Friday. She affirmed that as universal human rights, freedom of religion and belief safeguard the sense of respect to diversity. She said in practice, freedom of religion directly contributes to democracy, development, legal supremacy, peace and stability. ASEAN is located in a very diverse area in terms of language, culture, politics, legal system, religion, and history. She added that politically, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, the Philippines, Cambodia, and Thailand formally adopt a democratic administrative system, while Vietnam and Laos are socialist republics with a single party. State-owned railway operator PT Kereta Api Indonesia, or KAI, will build a new train line to connect Kebon Kawung Station in Bandung City, West Java, to Tegal Ular Station in Bandung Regency, which will be the final station of the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed railway that is currently under development. As quoted by the JakartaPost.com on Friday, President Director of PT KAI, Edi Sukomoro, explained that his side has prepared diesel trains to connect Bandung Skebonkaung Station to Tegal Ular Station, which covers 16.2 kilometers. He also said the journey between Tegal Ular and Skebonkaung Stations would take only 27 minutes. PTKI has prepared 5 trains with capacity of 300 passengers respectively. And listener, that was the news.
The first news comes from Agam, West Sumatra. A total of 4 individual Arnoldi types of rare Rafflesia flower bloomed simultaneously at 2 population points in Jorong Data Simpang Dingin, Nagari Paninjau, Tanjung Raya District, Agam Regency, West Sumatra. Forest Ecosystem Controller at Natural Resources Conservation Agency in Agam Resort, Ade Putra, in Lubuk Basung, said on Wednesday, 2 of the 4 Rafflesia flowers were in full bloom on the second day, while the other 2 had passed the perfect bloom on the 7th day. He admitted in Agam there were 13 distribution points of the Rafflesia population, mostly in the area around Lake Maninjau. Rafflesia is a rare plant and protected by Law No. 5 of 1990 concerning conservation of living natural resources and ecosystems. The next news comes from Malang, East Java. Malang City broke the World Indonesia Museum of Records, or MURI, for the category of reading through gadgets with the most participants, with a total of 2,929 participants. MURI Executive Manager Sri Widayati on Thursday in Malang said a similar activity themed literacy education through gadget in Bandung, West Java in November 2018 had brought a total of 1,140 participants. With the number of participants reaching almost 3,000, Malang City toppled the record. According to Sri, Malang City is not the first time to create a MURI record. There are several MURI records achieved, including organizing Maumere dance using umbrellas, with the highest number in 2018. The record of reading using a gadget with the most participants was followed by thousands of high school students from Malang City area, East Java. The latest news comes from Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta. The Gunung Kidul Regency Tourism Office, Yogyakarta Special Region, organized the Gunung Kidul Beach Camp and Run 2019 on Saturday, December 14th, which took place at Watu Kodok Beach. Head of Marketing and Business Development Division of Gunung Kidul Tourism Office, Yuni Hartini in Gunung Kidul, said that the current trend of running sports is increasingly popular with the public. Besides being cheap, running is an easy, simple, and doable exercise that can be done together. The location for running was getting more interesting, with the hope that runners would not experience boredom while carrying out this hobby. Gunung Kidul Beach Camp and Run 2019 aims to promote tourism in the area. And listener, that was news from Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with the event of December 14, 1911, the first expedition of reaching geographical point of the South Pole. The first expedition that successfully reached geographical point of the South Pole was led by Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen. He and four other people arrived at the South Pole point, where they were in the middle of the Antarctic continent on December 14, 1911, competed with explorer Robert Falcon Scott to obtain the first sight of the Earth's South Pole. We turn to December 14, 1981, when Israel seized the Golan Heights. Golan Heights is a plateau in the border regions of Israel, Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria. Previously, the area belonged to Syria, but Israel captured the Golan Heights from Syria in 1967 in the Six-Day War. Early in 1973, Yom Kippur War, Syria successfully recaptured the area, but Israeli counterattacks succeeded in driving back Syria from out of most of the Golan Plateau. In the highlands, there are also hills which were contested by Arab and Israel, such as Hermon Hill and Booster Hill. The two hills become the observation centers of the Israeli army, known as the Israeli Eye. We end today in history with the event of December 14, 1995, when Dayton Agreement was signed in Paris. The Dayton Agreement is the name of the agreement to end the Yugoslavian war that had been done for the past 3 years, especially for the future of Bosnia-Herzegovina. The agreement was approved at Wright-Patterson Air Base in Dayton, Ohio. The meeting took place from November 1 to 2, 1995. The major participants were Serbian President Slobodan Milosevic, Croatian President Franjo Tuđman, and Bosnian President Alija Izetbegovic, Chief U.S. Negotiator Richard Holbrooke, and General Wesley Clark. The agreement was signed in Paris, France, on December 14, 1995. And listener, that was today in history.
Voice of Indonesia.
Cinta sejatiku, apa kabar dengan dirimu di sana dan di mana dirimu sekarang? Aku ingin jumpa, tapi ku tahu itu tidak mungkin. Meninggalkan aku di saat ku mulai jatuh hati padamu, dan kini tetes air mata terjatuh dan aku hanya bisa menangis untukmu. Tidak tahukah kamu betapa ku cinta dirimu? Tidak tahukah kamu betapa ku merindukanmu? Aku masih berharap kau selalu mengingat diriku, walaupun kau dan aku sudah tidak lagi.
That's a song titled Tahukah Kamu or Do You Know by 3G. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we present your program, My Indonesia. Stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia for today is on Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy encourages conducive ecosystems for startup businesses. The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, or Tourism and Creative Economy Agency, encourages ecosystems and pioneering industries while creating a conducive climate of competition both for foreign and local startups. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Wisnu Tama Kusubandio during the Indonesia Innovation Forum in Jakarta on Wednesday, December 11th, explained that currently establishing a startup company is in reach and is a favorite career choice among young people. For this reason, advances in technology must be utilized together. Wisnu Tama announced the ministry launched a joint platform to create a conducive ecosystem for Indonesian digital startups, namely Go Startup Indonesia. The minister explained that the development of digital ecosystems must lead to the interests of the nation or of Indonesia, which in the end will improve the competitiveness of the people. He invited all parties to build the nation into a productive one through the creative economy. He warned the Indonesian people should not only be the target market. Letting foreign products and brands receive more benefits compared to the Indonesian people themselves. Digital economic development, or startups, must pay attention to the balance of digital products, goods, services, and content products. Foreign applications with a certain number of users or revenue in Indonesia are expected to later have legal entities and make direct investments in Indonesia, so that in the future, fair competition can be created, not only between foreign and local applications, but also with other creative economic subsectors. According to Wisnu Tama, to realize this requires synergy, cooperation, and collaboration among stakeholders, both government and non-government, as an effort to build a conducive startup ecosystem in Indonesia. Therefore, Wisnu Tama said that the ministry would work with the Investment Coordinating Board and the Ministry of Communication and Information Technology to create equality in the field of competition for foreign applications and local applications. The Go Startup Indonesia platform is expected to attract investors and become a place to promote and measure the capabilities of startups. At the same time, it is a place to find a proven market for them. So listener, that was my Indonesia for today.
Bersamamu.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
That's a song entitled Dewi or Goddess by Alexa. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we are going to present you our program Indonesian Wonder about Indonesian tourism and culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to Yogyakarta to visit Krakow Beach. Stay tuned. Listener, Krakow Beach is one of many coastal tourism objects in Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta. The beach, which is located at the south of Jogja, is very beautiful. In addition to being exotic and beautiful, Krakow Beach has nice waves for surfing. It has flat coastal line and white sand. Besides, corals, which also decorate most of the beach, become home for many ornament coral fish, such as dam shellfish, bestum, pogat, tiger, butterfly fish with line of dark and light blue. There is also a small fish group which has light blue color. Listener, if you want to do surfing at Krakow Beach, you should walk to cluster of the rocks at the beach and then welcome the waves which have reef break type, and the beach is quite challenging. Bottom of the sea is dominated by many coral reefs, so that if you want to do surfing, you must be careful. The right time for surfing here is especially on dry season between March and September, because its wave is quite good. Besides, you must carry your own surfing board because there is no rental of surfing board at the beach. If you want to walk at the beach, please do not forget to wear footwear because the stones here are very sharp. At the beach, you will also see fishermen's boats which cross to find strategic place to throw the fishing rod. You can also see fishermen diving to find umbal, small creature of provided by local people to gazebo for tourists who enjoy the beauty of the beach. Listener, Krakow Beach, which is located at Ngesti Harjo Village, Tanjung Sari District, Gunung Kidul Regency, Yogyakarta, can be accessed around 2 hours from Yogyakarta by car. You do not have to worry because the road to Krakow Beach is good. Along the trip, you will easily find food stall and hotel. The location of the beach area is usually guarded from at 8 a.m. There is no entrance ticket to the beach. Listener, if you want to stay at night surrounding Krakow Beach, there are many hotels around the beach. There are also many food stalls which provide seafood. And please do not forget to bring rubber footwear because rocks at the beach are very sharp. The local people usually wear footwear from used tires to freely find spot for fishing. So listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Puri Safitadella. Thank you for listening.
Just listen one song entitled Raja di Hatiku or King in My Heart by Andira. For the next segment, we are going to present your program Miscellany. Stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Indonesian film succeeded in attracting the attention of the 2019 UNDP Human Development Report. The film with the title The Floating Sister by Arvan Sabran appeared as the opening act in the event. The film tells the main character of Rabia, who is not afraid to fight for the health of people in Flores, East Nusa Tenggara, who are experiencing a health crisis due to lack of technology and infrastructure for the population, as well as knowledge about health. Rabia is a woman who is persistent in providing services in the health sector, an important but difficult need for people in that area. The United Nations Development Programme, or UNDP, is an international organization focusing on change and making countries connected to knowledge, experience, and resources in a bid to help their people to live a better life under the United Nations. UNDP consists of 177 countries, including Indonesia, which the position of UNDP is to cooperate with the community to get their own solutions in facing global and national challenges. During the 2019 Human Development Report, or HDR, UNDP reported that Indonesia was included in the High Human Development category. This is evidence based on the HDI, or Human Development Index, of Indonesia, which reached 0.707, but in some areas of Indonesia, there are still difficulties for health problems. In this film, the floating sister, Rabia, managed to describe how hard the inequality is in Indonesia and how it becomes a hope for residents around them to build better lives, especially in the health sector. By using a boat, she made health visits to various remote islands in Flores. Listener, in addition to successfully inspiring their audience to the UNDP Human Development Report 2019, this documentary also won several awards, such as Best Film by Eagle Awards 2006, Best Cinematography by Eagle Awards 2006, Viewer's Favorite by Eagle Awards 2006, highly commended for Best Documentary by Asian Television Awards 2007, Official Selection by Asian Hotshots Film Festival Berlin 2011, and Official Selection by Documentary Film Festival Yogyakarta 2007. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today. See you next time. Oh,
song titled Sesuatu Yang Baru or New Thing by Andre Hehanusa. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we are going to give you a program Music Corner. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition of Music Corner, I will introduce you a keroncong song entitled Sampul Surat. Stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia. The keroncong song was composed by Ismail Marzuki. He was an Indonesian composer who was very productive to create songs in the era of Indonesian struggle until 1958. However, his works can be enjoyed until now. The song Sampul Surat is one of his songs. The song tells about someone who has been long time to wait for news from his lover. After 10 years, a letter came to him, but it was only a cover of the letter. Although he was disappointed, the cover is still kept as memory. Listener, here is Didi Kempot with the song entitled Sampul Surat.
Datanglah
Voice of Indonesia.
For joining our broadcasting, and also we have some social media that you can follow, and don't forget to check out our social media: Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia; Instagram, voice.of.indonesia; Twitter at Voi Indonesia, as well as email address voi@voinews.id. Thank you so much. I'm Amanda. Have a great day.